You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Pacers fans, welcome into this Thursday edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast. I am one of your hosts, Tony East, with the West Indianapolis Community News. The Pacers just lost to the Jazz, their second worst home loss of the year, 104-84. They couldn't hit the broad. Sorry, I'll do my favorite one. They couldn't hit the ocean if they fell out of a boat on any shots today. The Jazz looked great all over the court, and my favorite Jazz follow on Twitter is here to help me recap the game. Taylor Griffin, one of the writers at SB Nation's SLC Dunk, who covers the Jazz. Taylor, man, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
You in a better mood than me, I'm guessing?
Oh, heck yeah. After a win like that, I'm always in a good mood. So
I want to talk about a play before we get into the game, because it was, to me, the moment that the game swung to being a Jazz win. Oladipo lays it in. Or, sorry, not Oladipo. Bojan Bogdanović lays it in. 69-77 Pacers. They have been coming back. They cut it to 8. And then Jay Crowder comes off a screen, beats a man, kicks out to Donovan Mitchell for the wide open three, and he cans it. Lead goes back to 12, and the Jazz never looked back.
Yeah, there seemed that was one of the plays that kind of seemed to stretch it for the Jazz. I feel like there was a couple more too that were just like that. You know, the Pacers would scrap back in it, and get the lead maybe within single digits, but then, you know, Mitchell would hit a three, or Crowder would hit a three, Ingles would hit a three. There's just a lot of plays like that that seem to totally just, you know, tamper any momentum that the Pacers were getting and bring it right back to the Jazz. So there are a lot of big plays like that tonight.
Yeah, so Jay Crowder, I want to talk about him first, because he stood out the most to me besides the two Jazz stars as a guy that really changed the game. Jay Crowder came in. He doesn't start, but he comes in first. I believe he's the sixth man now that he's on the Jazz for Derek Favors, and he was a plus 17. Has he been that impactful always for the Jazz? Because he was just everywhere tonight.
He really has. I feel like Jay Crowder, that trade worked out really well for the Jazz, because he's just one of those guys that, you know, they're just tough. They come in, they play defense, you know, they hustle. And I feel like he fits the Jazz system so well. I mean, he fits Snyder's system so well, both in the defensive scheme. And, you know, he's a good shooter. He shot well for the Jazz. Everybody's been saying that he looks like, you know, the Celtics Jay Crowder, not the Cavs Jay Crowder, which is good for the Jazz. But I just feel like it's a system thing. You know, he's fit really well with the guys. I don't know if you saw him, getting Jeff Teague's grill when he shoved Rubio the other day, but it's just good to have one of those guys on your squad. And I've been really happy with Crowder and the way that he's played and come in and, you know, just done whatever was asked of him so far. And he's been great.
Yeah. What impressed me about him tonight is this is a factor for a lot of things for him, but we have always seen how good he is as a wing defender. But with LeBron, you know, everyone's role is kind of different, but now he's back to that thing where he just switches every single thing that happens around him because of his size and, you know, agility and his defensive prowess. He can just be in front of everybody. And, you know, he played great defense on Oladipo. He even was guarding Sabonis for a lot of the game. He was guarding Bogdanović for some of the game, and he just shut down everybody. He was awesome.
Yeah. He's just, like I said, he's one of those good guys to have on your team that, you know, they're just big, they're tough. They'll guard anybody, you know, and I feel like he really thrives in the system. I feel like that was his problem in Cleveland is, you know, with LeBron, it's always more of a kind of a free-flowing, you know, roamer type system. But, you know, in Snyder's scheme and Brad Stevens' scheme, he really thrives. I think that's what helps him so much.
Yeah, the next guy, we'll get to game flow momentarily, but the next guy I want to talk about is who I was just gushing about on Twitter all night, Rudy Gobert. I think he scored over 20 points, and now the Jazz last four games, he hit the glass for 14 boards. He made 10 of his 14 shots. The same as Turner, by the way, who we'll talk about momentarily. But I talked about before this game how I thought, you know, if Turner could get the pick and pop going and pull Gobert away from the basket, that, you know, they could mitigate Gobert's impact and they could find a way to win. Well, Turner did exactly that. He got Gobert away from the rim a few times. Sabonis got him away once and drove by him for a basket. And yet Gobert was still absolutely dominant every single possession on both ends of the floor.
Yeah, Gobert has been, I mean, on an absolute tear. I think I saw something the last six games or something like that. He was averaging 24 and 13 and a couple blocks. I mean, incredible stuff for, a guy that's come back from injury this year. You know, he missed a chunk of games, and the Jazz really struggled without him. It's good to see him come back and I mean, he's been the dude that I think has made the biggest difference during this run. And even tonight, I mean, he was making on those rolls, he'd be getting the ball, throw up these awkward little floaters in the lane, and they'd be going, everything was just falling for him. And that's how it's been the last couple of games. I mean, he's shooting, you know, 60-70% in every single game the last week or so. So he's on a tear.
What I never thought I'd see from him that I saw tonight is he kind of runs lanky. He doesn't run like he's super athletic, but he just jumps out of the gym on these lobs all of a sudden and throws it down every possession.
Oh, yeah. No, he's not the most nimble guy, I would say, you know, just because he's super lanky. But, yeah, he gets around just fine. He gets up with his reach. I mean, they just have to lob it anywhere near the rim, and he's up there, especially on those tip-back rebounds and things like that. He's just all over the place.
Yeah, he was just dominant. And, you know, I knew he'd be great because he's that great. But, like, he was, like, defensive player of the year great on that end with the rebounding. And, you know, he'd come out high on the pick and roll and flush someone to pass on the three-point line or get his hand up to contest the three-pointer or slide back and stop the shoot. I mean, he just did everything right besides sans, like, two or three possessions. But, I mean, he was just crazy. Like, I feel like if he was on the Pacers, they could be, like, a 55 or 60-win team. But I'm just gushing about someone else right now. The last guy, obviously, that everyone wants to hear about. I don't know if you saw any pictures, but 85% of the stadium's shirts might have been red. Louisville's just a short 2 hours from Indianapolis. Your boy Donovan Mitchell did, in fact, play good tonight.
Yeah, I actually heard on the radio the first quarter. They're talking about all the red jerseys in the arena, which is pretty cool. I mean, and Donovan Mitchell is just one of those dudes that people just come to watch. You know what I mean? That's what's so special about him is I really feel like he's going to be one of those guys that people will come just to see him play. You know what I mean? And you know, tonight obviously didn't disappoint. He had so many plays. I mean, I think he ended up with 20, I think. So, you know, nothing crazy, but he was just making plays all over the floor. I feel like you know, he was getting a few steals, some good passes at the end of the first quarter. He had that no look pass, and then, you know, he's just putting on a show tonight.
Yeah, I've never once seen him live yet, even in college, and I kind of liked him in the draft, but I wasn't like stupid high on him. And then, you know, he stunk for the first whatever 5 or 10 games, and then you see him and you're like, how did this guy stink and like fall to the 13th or whatever pick? Like, this dude is so athletic and he's got a beautiful jump shot form, like, you know, it's real, and he can get to the rim, and he, like you said, got the steals, like he got his hands everywhere, and I'm surprised this dude is whatever 20 years old, because he looked like he was a polished, you know, 25, 26 year old.
Yeah. I mean, every single game, I'm just in awe that the Jazz got him. You know what I mean? Like, he's just one of those guys that you just dream about. I mean, he's really humble. He's a great team player, and he's just a baller. So it's, yeah, seriously, every single game, I'm just like, oh my word, how did the Jazz get him? Like,
is it worth giving up Trey Lyles?
Oh, I mean, I was always a Lyles fan. I feel like he showed promise. But yeah, obviously Mitchell for Lyles at this point is just a you know, robbery.
Indiana native Trey Lyles, no slander for me.
Oh, no, yeah, no slander to Lyles. But yeah, you know, I like Lyles, but Mitchell's just, I mean, he's one of those dudes that I feel like is going to be, you know, a superstar. And
oh, for sure.
Do incredible things in Utah, so.
So another random question that has no one who cares who's listening to this, but Tony Bradley played for a minute in garbage time. Is that his first time touching the court? I don't think I've ever heard of him playing.
He has played. There was a couple games earlier in the year, back when, you know, when Gobert was out, he was getting a couple more minutes, mostly garbage minutes. But he's been going back and forth between the G League, and, you know, they've been calling him back and forth. He's probably out traveled and everything, but. You know, he showed some promise in G League games. I've seen some stat lines coming through. He's seems like a pretty good little player. But yeah, he's just raw, you know, just needs some time. So
a monstrous 27.3% effective field goal percentage for Bradley this year. So I know I know nothing about this guy. I just didn't know if he ever played or not. Also, George Niang back in Indiana. He's on a two-way. He got to high-five some old teammates. Trevor Booker got to hug some old teammates in the game. That was pretty cool. I'm going to talk about Trevor Booker a bit, and you can squeeze in stuff that you saw from him. This was Booker's first game in a Pacers uniform. Me and Adam were spot on with our predictions that he would play between 10 and 15 minutes. He played 13. I think the most noticeable thing from him for me was offensive rebounding. He got two of them. They were both, you know, right place, right time. He was able to pull it down. He turned the ball over one time and fouled twice. And other than that, he was just kind of a big body who would just knock people around. And I kind of feel like that's what we're going to get from him. And you might have watched him a little in Utah, you know. Do you think that the player Booker was in Utah is kind of going to be how he is now? You know, what can we expect from him? And what did you like from him tonight?
Yeah, I was a big Booker fan when he was in Utah. Again, he was just kind of one of those guys that everybody loves. You know what I mean? He plays hard. He comes out, you know, talks trash pretty much every game. But and he's a hustler. You know, he'll get in there and rebound, defend, shoot threes every now and then. There was one game that I remember with Booker. I can't remember. I think it was his last year there, but he scored like 18 points in the first half or something like that. And just out of nowhere, you know what I mean? Dropping threes, everything. So he's got a couple of tricks up his sleeve, but I was kind of hoping that he'd wind up on the Jazz when he got waived. But I think their rotation is pretty set right now, but I like Booker. I think he'll be solid for the Pacers.
I'm excited after seeing those offensive rebounds. I kind of think that's what they needed in a second unit four. Especially in the limited minutes that I expect him to get. The guy to talk about, though, for the Pacers is Miles Turner, who did exactly what I wanted him to do this game. 10 of 14, knocked down his mid-rangers. He only missed one shot that wasn't a three the entire game, so that was awesome. 24 points, led the team. Only positive, plus two. Besides Rudy Gobert owning him on the glass, I would say Miles Turner was basically dominant in this game. Are you envious that Miles Turner is not on the Jazz at all, or are you just happy with Rudy? I'll make this trade straight up right now if you'll do it.
Well, Rudy's on my no trade, never trade list. So unless there's one guy I would trade for, and it rhymes with LeBron Lames. But anyways, that was lame. But I love Rudy.
This is why we had Taylor on, for this quality banter and jokes that we're getting.
No, I got lots of dad jokes. If you follow me on Twitter, you know that. They're pretty bad. But anyways, I love Rudy. At the beginning of the year, people, you know, when the Jazz were struggling, people were, you know, talking crazy stuff on Twitter that the Jazz need to trade him. And it just blew my mind because, I mean, Rudy's one of those guys, like you said, you put him on any team and it's going to make the team better. You know what I mean? Make him a 40-50 win team. But Miles Turner is also a really nice player. I love his game. I feel like he's developed really well, and you know, show signs of being a dude that can be a really effective player and a go-to player in the league. But I think tonight, you know, he played really well on the offensive side. But you know, like you said, Rudy just was dominant. I mean, killing him on the pick and roll on offense and things like that. But he's a great player. You guys got a good one in Miles Turner.
Yeah, this is the kind of game that I hope we see more from Turner going forward, mostly because Sabonis was just atrocious. He was hitting the glass, but he missed a lot of shots, and his defense, he was basically a sieve. He's a minus 26, if you didn't know. Sabonis was very ineffective in this game. But that's what – one, you need Turner to play well when Sabonis does not play well, and he did that. And two, you just want him to be a mid-range scorer who can stretch the floor, and that's exactly what he did. He was the only reason that they didn't lose by 40 in this game, honestly. I mean, being a plus two and a 20-point loss is some kind of crazy. So credit to Turner for that. The last two guys I want to talk about, Lance Stephenson continuing to struggle, minus 19, 0-5, pretty much did nothing well, drove in for a layup and got completely annihilated by Rudy, and then complained he didn't get a foul call even though he didn't get fouled. Pretty typical Lance possession in a frustrated way. And then Oladipo, who's been struggling from three, was 0 of 3 from deep. He was actually okay. He was only a minus two. He did a nice job defending Donovan Mitchell. I think he was the only guy who did okay at that at all. And his seven assists, he was the only guy with more than one assist, which is just insane. Their passing was not good tonight. But 6 of 19 overall, he couldn't get a thing going at the basket with Rudy. I was tracking his shots. He took a ton of pull-up mid-rangers and did not make many of them. So, you know, credit to Rudy for slowing down pretty much everybody, but Oladipo especially was a guy that needed to get going and just couldn't do it.
Yeah. The last time the Jazz and Pacers played, I was actually at that game. Oladipo went off for like 30 plus. I can't remember exactly how he had, but he was just on fire. I mean, they ended up beating the Jazz by 20 plus points, but that was, I think, one of the keys they focused on tonight was slowing down Oladipo, who's been a great player this year. And I think that was one of the key reasons why they were able to dominate tonight, was slowing down Oladipo. They did a great job at that.
Yeah, they really let him shoot that mid-ranger, and he kept falling for the bait. And, you know, I wouldn't say as much as falling for the bait as being scared of going at Rudy. But, yeah, he couldn't hit anything, and it really really affected the game. But, yeah, in general, you got to hand it to the Jazz starters for just being monsters at every – starters plus Crowder for just being monsters at everything they do. Also, Raul Neto plus 15 somehow. I don't think he did anything noticeable, but he was a plus 15. Is that, like, a normal thing?
Yeah, pretty much. Raul's pretty he's just a solid dude that comes out and, you know, has a pretty sweet assist here and there, maybe drains a three, but he's solid, and he's coming back from injury too, so it's good to see him.
This is less Pacers related, but I'm just curious. Is Exum close to back? I know he's been working out recently.
Yeah, so he's been hoping to get back. I saw Tony Jones, one of the beat writers at Salt Lake Tribune, tweeted out or had an article saying that he was going to be back hopefully within the next, I think it was 10 days or so. So he's been working to get back. It'll be nice to have him back to, you know, give the Jazz a little more depth. And I just can't wait to see the Donovan Mitchell and Dante Exum backcourt. That's what I'm looking forward to. The DMX. I don't know if you guys have heard it going around Jazz Twitter, but that's the DMX backcourt right there.
I like that. I would love more than anything. I want you to tweet at me with, like, all caps the first time we see Exum, Mitchell, Ingles, Crowder, Gobert, because that is a nasty lineup.
Yeah, I'll gladly do so.
Mostly because I think that that's their best chance of having a sick lineup in the future, unless they just kill in the draft this year. But, yeah, that would be something else. But you got any other takeaways you want to talk about from this game? I really thought the Jazz just dominated all over the court.
Yeah, I thought this is going to be a tough game for the Jazz. You know, they started a 3-game road trip tonight, and I kind of was thinking this is going to be the tone setter for the trip. Obviously, the Jazz are in a tough, tight playoff race, trying to squeak into the playoffs, and I was just really impressed with how they played. You know, really, really disciplined and tough, and, you know, played a really good game. So we'll see where it goes.
Yeah, good luck on the rest of the road trip. I'm happy we don't have to play against Rudy Gobert the rest of the season.
Yeah, you should be. I'm glad I get to watch him every night. So,
you got anything you want to promote before you get out of here?
I don't think so. Just if you don't already follow SLC Dunk, they're a great account to follow. If you follow the Jazz or NBA, random memes, you know, random lame jokes, things like that. So if you don't already follow them, give them a follow. Read their stuff. We do some pretty cool stuff. So
another great Jazz account to follow is at Griff Dunk, if you've ever heard of him.
Like I said earlier, but you can get by with the dad jokes. There's, you know, some occasional Jazz tweets in there, some NBA stuff, some pretty good memes and gifs and stuff. So
I recommend Taylor as a Jazz follow. Thanks for coming on, man. I appreciate it.
Okay, thanks for having me, man. Appreciate
it. We'll be back tomorrow to preview the Hawks game Friday, and then we're finally done talking about the Hawks all season. I cannot wait. You can follow me at TEastNBA and the podcast at Locked On Pacers. We're getting flamed everywhere for this Bojan over Joe Ingles take, so please hop in our mentions so these Joe Ingles ones fades away, even though we deserve the hate because Ingles played substantially better than Bojan tonight. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow, and have a great Thursday.